This is an ABC podcast.
Okay, it's Saturday morning, about 10 a.m. I was meant to meet Will here at a cafe, and he hasn't shown up, which is a shame. He's not picking up his phone. He's going straight to voicemail. So, look, I'll keep looking, keep chasing. We will find him. We'll find Will.
Last time on Earshot, we brought you a sequel. It had been 9 years since producer Mike Williams first ventured into the shearing sheds on the Hay Plain in western New South Wales. He returned to find the shearer's life is as tough as ever. During the trip, though, he was looking for someone specific. In 2011, he interviewed a 14-year-old boy named Will. Will was working in the sheds on the weekend as a wool presser. He had dreams to give up smoking, leave town, and become a cabinet maker. In all the interviews Mike's done since, he never forgot about Will. He often finds himself daydreaming. What happened next? I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and on Earshot today, 9 years after we first met Will, let's find out.
Hello, Will. Hey, Will.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Sorry to bother you.
No, you're all right, chief.
haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. I've been here and you've been coming to, like, see me and stuff for at least 3 days, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few days, yeah.
What have you been
doing? Oh, I've been chasing after me three kids. Yeah, three kids now, three boys.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yes, they're growing up pretty quick. They're a bit like me when I was young, they're flat stick.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Will Lewis has a small house. He says it's a mess inside and there's kids running around.
Do you smoke at all?
Oh, I don't know, you're right. You can smoke,
so we set up around the side of the house.
It's over here, so it's not going straight in your face, and nothing worse.
What did you think when you found out I was chasing you?
I was like, oh, wow, I wonder what he wants to talk to me about this time.
Did you ever hear the story I made last time? Did you ever listen to that?
I think I did, yeah. I'd be stuffed if I could remember now, though.
Can I play a bit back to you? Should we listen together?
Nice.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, that'll be weird, yeah.
Let me find it, one sec.
Some of that one, now you're going to put some... Life's pretty tough as a shearer.
Like, there's no singing in the showers at Kino's place, you know? They even had to work on a Sunday. And that's where I met this guy. He looked like he was in his early 20s, and he was pressing the wool. And the wool press is just someone that takes the wool and makes it into a bale they put into this machine. Anyway, there was a bit of metal that was somewhere in the bale, and here's this poor guy trying to pull out all the wool to find this bit of metal.
So you spent a whole of lunch trying to catch up?
Yep, pretty much.
And Carla told me before that you won't get paid for redoing a bale, you just lose the time.
Yeah.
I found out later that Will was only 14 years old, and that was his part-time job.
Growing up in Hay, it's not really that easy. It's a bit of a hellhole at times. No work, it hardly ever rains here. It's only just started to pick back up again. So hopefully a bit of work comes in and then Dad might be able to find something that's not so bad on his back. Dad had a big motorbike accident when he was young, so he can't go out and work. So we're dependent on Mum to get a bit of work together, so we've got money and stuff. Most of the druggos live here, so it's not a real good environment to be brought up in, but some people make it and some people don't. Yeah, and I hope to be one of them that make it.
When you say make it, what do you mean?
I want to make something of myself. Like, my brothers, they've both been working in shearing sheds for a long time now, and I just want a better job.
You don't want to be a shearer?
I'm going to learn to shear, so I've got something to fall back on, because I want to move up to my cousin's house and do a bit of cabinetry. Better than just sitting around being a bum, I suppose.
Are the kids like that in this town?
Oh, yeah, most of them. Most of them are pretty much dull bludgers. Half of the town pretty much is full-blown drugs. I'm trying to keep clear of all that stuff. I've seen the effects on some people around the place. Like one of our workmates, he's had a bad time from being young. I've just looked at him and I don't really want to be like that.
You're only 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've been smoking because I can smell cigarettes on you.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I'm going to try giving them up because it's a waste of money.
How long have you been smoking for?
About 3 months. I'm already trying to give it up because I've spent near on $300 or more on cigarettes. Sometimes it gets a little bit hard.
Do you feel like it's pretty cool only being 14 and being able to be the wool presser?
Oh, yeah.
It's not many other kids that get to do that?
No, not many other kids. Nothing like that anyway. Not as full on.
What would you say to 14-year-old kids from the city?
I'd say, get out there, have a go, give it your best shot and see what happens. That's all you could do.
You're pretty inspiring, Will.
Yeah, well, I can think that too.
you got a huge grin on your face, mate.
Yeah.
Nice.
What do you feel listening back to that?
It's just like, wow. Yeah. It's different.
Are you speechless?
I don't know. Puzzled.
You're puzzled?
Mm.
Do you recognise yourself?
No. That's why I reckon. I don't really listen to myself. I think that's the problem. I was 14. Nearly 23 now. I've always wanted to do better. I suppose shit happens, I guess. Ended up doing the wrong things instead of the right things.
Will dropped out of school in year 9.
I just got sick of it. I wasn't doing real good at school. I was a bit of an arse, you know, towards the teachers and stuff. It got to the point where I couldn't go into a maths class, really. So I sort of had the choice to leave on my own terms or get expelled sort of thing.
He had some work experience at a mechanics. He wanted to get an apprenticeship there, but the mechanic wasn't keen. Not long after that, his life took a turn.
Me and my mate ended up having a car accident on the Bullagwa Road and flipping his Commodore, nearly died. I was still, you know, a normal person then, like a normal kid anyway. Like a mate of ours, he's got a block out at Bullagwa, Box Yards. We used to go out there pig hunting quite a bit. And anyways, we were out there drinking. Me and a few other boys, we were out there camping, we ran out of grog. It was about 5 o'clock or something at night. We'd come flying into town. We're going way too fast anyway. We'd come around a big sweeping bend. It's got a big dip in it, and it had a kangaroo straight on the corner of it as well. We hit it going way too fast. It spat us out into the paddock and rolled probably 6 or 7 times. The fella from the four-wheel drive shop in Hay. Yeah, he was behind us. He thought we were dead in the car. He come out and grabbed us and called the ambulance and stuff. But after that, I just, yeah, pretty much got real depressed and stuff, you know. And went down the wrong path for a little while.
The trauma from the crash knocked him around. Will suffered from depression his whole life.
I don't know why. I just had a mental problem with that, you know, from a young age, sort of thing that I never really spoke about. But, it just started to get worse sort of thing until I come to that stage.
He turned to ice.
Didn't care about getting a job and all that shit, you know, like, you don't. It really, really stuffs you up. It does. It's not real good. ended up meeting Brooke, my partner, and went to her house. And yeah, we'd got on the grog and stuff, and I ended up staying there and didn't leave. We've been together ever since.
I don't want to take up too much time. How much time have we got?
Oh, about 15.
Okay.
Brooke works at the 24-hour Caltex. It's on the highway. She doesn't have a lot of time, so she tells me to meet her on her break.
How'd you meet Will?
At the shearing shed.
Oh, the first time, right,
yeah,
okay.
The first time I met Will was at the shearing shed. I knew his brother before that, but I didn't know Will. So, yeah, at the shearing shed. Yeah, that day.
That day I was
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that day you were there.
That was the first day you met him?
That was the first day I met Will. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure enough.
You can sit on the drum if you want, if that's easier.
Righto.
Turns out this isn't the first time I've met Brooke. I found this unused interview in my archive from 2011.
I'm Brooke Harmon. I'm a cleaner slash rouseabout slash cook. I have a 5-year-old and a 9-month-old, both girls, and I live in a small country town.
What do you think of Hay?
Hay's all right. Hay's good, actually. Hay's a really nice town. I don't mind Hay.
There's a lot of talk about small towns across Australia and a drug problem.
Yeah. Lots of people do it, I suppose.
Will and Brooke hooked up 4 years after that day. They didn't realise they'd already met until they were well into the relationship.
Didn't know how old Will was when I started dating him, when he was 17 and I was 26, because we got ready to go to the pub one night and he said, I can't go, I'm not old enough. But, yeah, that was five. Yeah, we've been together 5 years now.
Brooke has 4 kids with another partner. Will and Brooke met not long after one of those kids died of SIDS. They were both heavily addicted to drugs. Their stories have been tangled together ever since.
I dibbled and dabbled before that, but only at parties and, you know, like everyone here sort of does. And then when I lost my son, I really threw myself into it, and I ended up losing my other 3 children. I wasn't coping at all. So they're still in town. I still have very close with them. They live up the road.
But, yeah, she ended up losing him and just, yeah, went on a bad spiral down sort of thing.
The death of her child set Brooke off, but other factors contributed to the breaking point.
I was someone who was too smart to do what I'd done to start with. I was a straight-A student, 90% everything in my HSC. I'm too smart to be where I am. But, yeah, I sort of wasted that a bit, I suppose.
How does that happen?
Oh, that happens because my dad died. That's what happened. My dad died in a car accident drink driving.
So she didn't really have a support network there?
I went through, like, bad domestic violence relationship and, I don't know, it just sort of snowballed. Just bad things just sort of kept happening, so.
And, yeah, she just lost it on the ice sort of thing for that 2 years.
I just gave up for a bit. Yeah. I just gave up for a bit.
Will's path to getting hooked on ice was casual. It was just a weekend thing. You'd go out to the pub with your mates, someone would have it, you'd try it, and then from there you'd see people smoking it at parties.
Sometimes it can just go from that to wanting it every day sort of thing. It's just that sort of stuff. Like, you're addicted to the drug as well as being addicted to the, like, being around everyone on it, because Hay's so small, just about, like, everybody was on it then, and you just get hooked on the big social life.
How did you afford it?
You'd just sell it. Yeah, you'd just end up selling it. Like, you'd just completely fall into the trap of it.
How much do you think ice has impacted your life?
Tremendously. Absolutely every part of it. Every single deepest, darkest corner, everything. It has affected my whole life, and it still does now, even though I'm off it. As I said, with, like, the stigma of being an ex-ice user, with, you know, the pity I feel for people I know that I don't think are going to get off it, the shit I put my family through, just, yeah, every part of my life.
After dating Brooke for a year, they fell pregnant with their first child, Jackson.
And then after that, we had two more kids. Should have bought a TV.
It was around this time when they decided to get serious about figuring out how to quit.
You just get to the point where you've had enough of it, you know? Like, you just get sick of being awake every day and every night. We're like, stuff this, you know, we don't need it. We got kids now and stuff, so yeah.
Will took on a series of jobs, wood splitting until that company ran out of money. Then he got a gig driving tractors.
I ended up getting sick of that because they were 12 hours plus days. Yeah, I was trying to come into town to see the kids and stuff, and yeah, it just wasn't working, so ended up leaving that job.
He got a better job doing the same thing, but that ended when he got sick 2 months in. He didn't have the boss's number.
I'd ring him up with the doctor's certificate and they said, oh, you might as well come and get your shit. And yeah, they give me the sack.
If there was rass about work going, would you take it now? Or is, yeah. Is it a bit hard with the kids?
I'd probably be able to take a couple of days because currently my partner hasn't been able to work all that much. She's suffering a bad carpal tunnel in her hands. She's got to have an operation to cut the tendon. It's just been doing it pretty hard, but I suppose you get that in life.
How do you guys cope when she can't work that much and you don't have a job?
Yeah, not real well. I'm not on any Centrelink payments or anything like that. I haven't really had to be, but yeah, that's why I'm currently looking for work again to try and go back.
How do you get by then if you're not on Centrelink?
That's a struggle. My parents have been a big help, actually. Yeah. We owe them a little bit of money, but I don't know. I guess that's what family's for. They sort of helped us get out of the shit there a little bit, but we're not that bad off just yet.
And that's Brooke's attitude too. Despite everything they've dealt with, they don't feel sorry for themselves. They know things could be tougher.
Yeah. It seems like you've been through a lot.
Yeah, but there's people been through more, been through worse. I don't know, I just do what I can. I do courses at home. Hopefully I won't work at a servo forever. But while I've got little kids, it's honestly the best money you can make in town.
If you were still on it, would you tell me?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing about you, Will, you're incredibly honest. You know, like last time I came out here, you were the most honest person I interviewed.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't care. You know, I'm happy to say that I don't do it anymore, honestly. You know, like, because there's still a lot of people out there that still haven't bettered.
To realise how bad you are, you have to be very honest with yourself. And that's probably one of the hardest things with an addiction like that is the honesty you have to face with yourself. And once you do, telling anyone anything's not really a big thing once you tell yourself how bad you are.
They didn't use any health services. All they had was each other. And they credit their close relationship as the key to quitting. They thank each other for being alive.
It's a really lonely battle if you don't have someone who knows what you've been, yeah, where you come from with it. So in one way, me and Will are really lucky, but really lucky.
That's what we did. We sort of just stayed at home, like said to each other, look, if it's going to work, we just can't really go anywhere other than down the street for a bit.
Once you've had a name for it in a small town, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm lucky to have my job just because of the name I brought upon myself by not dealing with things and falling into that small-town drug trap. So even once you get away from the drugs in such a small town, you've made quite close friendships with people, and it seems like in Hay it's just getting everybody.
And that's their biggest challenge. They've been sober for years. They've changed, but the town's perception of them hasn't. And it's isolating. They don't want to see their friends who are still on it, and those who aren't don't always believe them.
I just really woke up to myself sort of thing. I don't go out anymore. If I do, it's just to have, you know, maybe a quiet beer with one of my mates or something, but it's not a party or anything like that.
Brooke thinks there's a lot more that could be done to help reduce drug abuse in Hay.
I've seen people walk down the main street here smoking it. And it's just really ingrained here, like, not just us even. Yeah. Nearly like this town's cursed. We actually had a clairvoyant come here and say that he never would come back here again because there is a dark cloud over the town, which is really horrible because there is good here. There is, and there are really good people, and not everyone is in that trap. There are people you can talk to, and there are some beautiful people trying to get rid of the shit.
But now, more than ever, Will needs to leave town. And now, more than ever, he can't.
Sort of in a bit of a battle, because my partner's got other kids as well. So, yeah, she doesn't really want to leave too far away from Hay, if you know what I mean.
He has wanted to leave Hay for as long as I've known him. He's only stayed because of me, because I've got the older kids here. It's me that's keeping him here. And I would love to say tomorrow, right, let's pack up and go. But I've got the three girls here. And for me to move, it just feels like me abandoning them again, sort of thing. So until they're okay with it, or old enough to be okay with it, I won't go. So, but I don't want to be here either. I don't know. We will move. We'll leave one day because I don't want the boys staying here. I don't want them ending up in the same vicious circle me and Will did, and because they're our kids, they're going to always be associated with what we done. It's carried on to my daughters already. So, yeah.
A lot of kids go to waste out here. They sort of fall into the wrong trap before they get the chance to find their opening in life, I guess, their career path and all. They've got nothing else to do with themselves, you know, which is pretty shit. That's why I'd like to get away from here, sort of thing, so I can try and give my kids a bit of better head start in life. Yeah, about the only thing I don't regret doing is having kids and stuff, you know. That's about it.
Will stuck in my mind because at 14, he knew all the traps and he was going to break the cycle. He hasn't yet, and now the stakes are higher, because leaving will mean breaking the cycle for his kids. Brooke calls it small town syndrome.
It's hard for him to find work because of his name. It's hard for him to really get ahead at all. Small town syndrome. It's, yeah. That's what I call it when, like, you know, no, I've had your brother work for me and he was useless. So, no, I'm not giving you a go. Well, you're all bad because you've done one bad thing. People here are very black and white in the way they think.
Well, thanks for being so honest. That's okay. And talking about it, and it's great to see you guys.
Oh, thank you. It's a bit of a spin out when his mum rang and he's like, there's this reporter that wants to talk to Will. I was like, a reporter? Thought you would have left Hay and forgot about Hay. Like, bye, Felicia. Bye, Hay. Bye.
No, I never forgot Hay.
What on earth made you come back here?
Will.
Really?
Will's why I'm here.
You crap. Bullshit.
No.
Really? You're kidding.
No, I've been thinking about Will. I think about Will all the time.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He thinks so low of himself. Like, he thinks no one thinks anything of him. At all. So, like, wow. Like, he doesn't know he impacted somebody's life. That's, wow. Yeah. Oh, I hope that made him feel like, yeah. Because he's, yeah, he really feels like he's no one, nothing. That's crazy. Well, I'm glad someone else sees the good that I see in him, honestly. Yeah, because there's a lot of people that don't see any good in Will, because he was young and he'd done some stupid things, but he's got the biggest heart and, yeah, he's a really good person. Yeah, he's my hero, to be quite honest, so. So, wow.
Yeah, come back here, mate.
Your kids. Tell me about your kids. You said that was one thing you didn't regret. Why's that?
Oh, because they just make you happy, you know, as kids should. I suppose it gives you something to look forward to, something, you know, to make you better yourself. You can't get much more incentive than a child, can you?
No, I think it's great that you, to go through something like, to be addicted to ice and then kick it.
Yeah.
Because you hear about how addictive that is. Dude. Now, I don't know anyone who's done that.
Yeah, no, it's hard, yeah.
You got yourself out of that world.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. I don't have to put up with them anymore.
When we come back and chat in 9 years' time.
Go inside. Rudy bum.
Which one's that?
That one's Jackson.
Jackson, right, okay. Yeah.
He's the oldest one. He's the wild child.
A cute kid.
Yeah, yeah, he is cute.
Just walked out here naked.
Hey!
Will's dreams endure. By 9 years' time, he will have left Hay. He'll have a trade as a diesel mechanic, and his kids will have more schooling options. Will and Brooke will be happy.
I'd hope to get married. All that stuff. Buy a house. It'd be nice. Mm. Yeah. So that's my dreams anyways, you know. I'm only young still, you know. I can change shit.
Is it fair for me to knock on your door 10 years later and say, hey, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not much changes, mate. Not even the people.
I think that might be true because 9 years later, I still think Will's inspiring.
So what do you do?
Just keep going. Try and make a change, mate. I suppose that's all you can do, isn't it?
Keep keeping on.
Mm.
Keep fighting.
Yeah. That's it.
Can you hold that a little bit?
Do the fire engine sound. What's the fire engine sound?
Small Town Syndrome was produced by Mike Williams. The sound engineer was Russell Stapleton. And original music by Mike and Russell. By the way, the town of Hay has many more stories. On our sister podcast, The History Listen, hear the gripping story of when Japanese POWs, men that were part of World War II's biggest and most violent escape attempt at Kaura, roll through the little town of Hay. Look out for The History Listen on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for all you documentarians out there who want to make an earshot or a history listen, our commissioning round is open for you. Pitch in your ideas before October 5th and we could all be listening to your story next. Find the details at the bottom of the earshot website. I'm Miyuki Okiranta. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.